Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is Season 2, Episode 11. And I'm always with the world's greatest host, Dawn. Welcome!
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. I am on location. Only you two guys know that.
I know, right?
The other person we'll mention in just a few seconds.
All right.
We want to thank our podcast listeners for taking the time out. We appreciate you. For just listening in and getting a blessing. So, drum roll, please. Boom. They're going to edit that, so don't worry about that.
You hope.
I hope. We have our, I like to call her second in command, or maybe VP of Plantation.
VP.
The VP.
VP.
Yeah, the VP. I got to call her TJ.
The vice pastor?
The vice pastor. Yeah, that's a good one. The vice pastor. Pastor Jennifer Hernandez. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Nice to be back.
Man. Oh, my goodness. It went too long, man.
I think I'm coming in from like the basement, the archives.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? She deserves it, though. You know, she deserves it. She's a pillar there.
I know.
All right, guys, before we start, you know, as we always do, let's start with a word of prayer. Yes. Father God, we thank you once again for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. We are not worthy in any way, shape, or form, Lord, but your grace and mercy abounds. So continue to bless us, this podcast, all the intricate details that keep it going. We thank you for all the folks that keep it moving each and day and day. Continue to bless us, Lord, in a mighty way. Amen.
Amen.
So I have to ask you first, before you start, Joe, I want to ask about that.
Sure.
Yeah. The picture for the power of reconnection. Did you do that yourself?
Yes, nice. I was the one who did that.
Yeah.
So, no, actually, I was so lucky because I was just trying to find something. And then just the picture with the light, you know, just that picture in the background. I had searched for like an hour and I just found that picture. And it was a freebie off of Pixabay. Oh, so all I had to do was add the words.
Right.
So nice. I was like, Jesus, give me a picture that shows this. And just the fact that the light bulb is plugging itself in.
I was like,
ah! There you go. Yeah.
So cool.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Because, you know, when I looked at that, that reminded me of Pastor Nugent.
Yes.
He would do things like that.
USB.
Oh.
USB.
Yes. USB. Yes. 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 That's what reminded me of.
Yeah.
So good job.
Awesome.
Well, I tell you. All right. Well, let's jump right into it. The power of reconnection. Well, I know that most of the story is about Peter and his denial. And as you mentioned that three times these things will happen. I want to jump right into go all the way back to, like you say, his calling. Well, at that time, he was called what? Simon Peter? Mm-hmm. At that time. And the sons of Zebedee were there as well. Why did you think Jesus picked that specific area and why those guys?
I don't know why that specific area per se. I just, Jesus was looking for men of the heart who could develop with him in ministry, you know. And so and he's looking for, you would think that he would immediately go for those who were perhaps well educated or whatnot, but and you do look through the list of disciples and some of the disciples are well educated, some of them are hold some good positions, you know, but then he starts off with fishermen. And I think in my own perspective, he starts off with fishermen because they know the toil of what it's going to be to spend the whole night or a day or whatever it is, just doing the same thing over and over and over again, casting and just waiting. And so he knew that this was also the heart of the ministry that he was called to do, just casting a net for people and just hoping and waiting that they will proverbially jump into the net. mm-hmm. and follow him. So I'm not sure if there is really a place per se why he chose that specific place, but there's a reason why, you know, I believe that's the reason why he chose those specific disciples, because of the trade that they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I was thinking, you know, here's a fisherman actually looking for a fisherman before mm-hmm. they knew it. Before mm-hmm. they knew it. Okay, right. Okay. That's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Now, kind of fast forward to the tomb. I was reading it after, you know, of course, you know, if we know the story, Peter denied him three times and blah, blah, saying, I would not do this, of course, to my master, my Lord. Let's go to the tomb. You know, I was reading, I did not know that John actually outran Peter to the tomb. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. like, whoa. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking it would be Peter, like, no, everybody get out of my way. Mm-hmm. But it was actually John.
Right.
He outran Peter. Wow.
And did you have a question about the tomb specifically?
No, you can add on to that.
So what I discovered that when you just said that about the outrunning to the tomb, there is also this, I don't know if you would call it a rivalry or so, like a battle among the disciples, but there was always kind of something between him and John, a kind of competition, so to speak, because John was the beloved. It always says John was the beloved, but if you even look, to the Last Supper, you know, and the disciples are already arguing when Jesus says something along the lines of someone's going to betray me. They're already arguing who's going to betray, and then not only who's going to betray, but then who's the greatest, you know,
amongst
all
question.
Of us,
yeah.
You know, there, yeah. Who's the one who's going to be sitting on your right hand and on your left? And so there was this friendly thing, and you see John outran him, but then even though John outran him, he was the first to literally go into, like, he's the only one. Yeah. So I think that was part of that too. Like, you know what? I'm going to be the one. This is my own thinking. I'm going to be the only one. I'm going to be the one brave enough. John's not in the tomb. Let me get in the tomb first.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. All right.
But also, if you fast forward to the breakfast at the sea, I did not mention I mentioned the most of the verse, but even after the verse, after God calls him, or Jesus calls him to say, you know, feed my sheep, he turns to John and he says, well, what about him? What about him?
Yeah.
Was he the one that betrayed? What about him? And Jesus was basically telling him, in the words that he gave, it's not exactly, but basically telling him, stay in your lane. Don't worry about him.
Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what I'm calling him to do. This is what I'm calling you to do.
Right. Yeah. Right. I see now. Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, there seemed to be totally, hey, what's going to happen with John? Watching John the whole time, you know, what's happening with John?
Yeah.
What is he doing? How come he's doing that? And now, you know, that kind of thing.
And if you, very interesting. When they're in the boat and John says, hey, you know, it is the Lord.
Right.
Who dives in first?
Yeah.
You know, he dives in first, right? Yeah. He says, I'm gone. And then when Jesus says, come and bring the fish to me, who goes and drags
that net?
It's him. So it's always like this little tussle
kind of situation.
I got you.
I was looking at the last part where Jesus was actually reinstating Peter, and he said three things. The first one was feed my lambs, the next one was tend my lambs, and the last one was, tend my sheep. And the last one was feed my sheep. Why do you think he said it in those ways?
Ooh, that was a good catch. I didn't even have time to go that way.
That's done for you.
Okay. I'm looking through the Bible here. Okay. So feed my lambs. Okay. So.
Because it would look like lambs is a younger of a sheep, yes, right?
Yes,
and,
yes.
And while we got, but we're tending the sheep, which means we're looking after them, and then we're feeding them. So I'm wondering, right, how is the correlation with Peter, and what was Jesus trying to tell him?
Perhaps. So I didn't exactly find the complete theological research, or, you know, a whole bunch of people saying this, but my take on this is, so he's asking John to start with them in infancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how you do, are you an infant in Christ, and have you matured to this part of your journey? He's asking them, okay, start as you are catching as you are a fisher of men and catching these men, remember that you have to feed them as infants first,
mm-hmm,
as the lambs. And then as they come into more maturity in knowing me, then tend to them, you know, tend to my sheep now. Now they're maturing, now they're growing as adults. And then he goes, feed my sheep. Now stay feeding,
mm-hmm,
tend to them, disciple them, walk with them, and then continue to feed them. Don't walk away. Okay. That's my take on it.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, because it sounds like just right after baptism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
Like the church would just keep, you know, we just don't cut them loose after that. You just stay with them and nurture them and grow them in the Holy Spirit.
Right. And which is why we get it, you know, a lot of churches, or I'm not saying a lot of churches, I'm going to even include us as Christians, we get it wrong. We make so much work into the pre-work of getting them into the baptismal pool, right? And we think, okay, we've educated you. Welcome to the church. Good luck. Good luck. because we have invested so much time and effort in the preconditioning, we're thinking that, oh, now that they've accepted and they have said checked off all the things that they're gonna let go of, and now that they're gonna do, now they're good. We forget that they're still in that whole infancy stage. They've accepted it, but now how do you do this thing called a Christian life? You know, how are you gonna, and that's where we have failed a lot, and now we have to make it better. This is the whole discipling process. You just don't leave someone, you know, you stay with them, you keep calling them, how are you doing? And it doesn't matter how long the nurturing is going to take, because we all continuously grow in Christ.
Amen.
Do you think it's possible that in church, we could be in the church for 20 something years and still be an infant?
Yes, we can. Mm-hmm. We can, because we can still be an infant based on, you know, you grow up in the church and you're just following along. You're doing your paces, right? And you're not, because you're doing your paces, because you're checking off the list, because you've been growing up in the church, because you've attended all the church schools and so forth, you think you're good, you know, but because you're just doing, but it's not the hard action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the full on how are you walking with Christ. So even as adults, we say, oh, you're still a spiritual infant, because you're still stuck on just the action. I don't even want to say the word before I'm gonna get killed for it, but
don't worry, we're good at editing. We're good at that.
What is the word where it's a L word? It just left me.
Lackadaisical.
Legalism.
Legalism. We're stuck on the legalistic aspects of everything. The
rituals and all that kind of thing. And
the rituals,
But we're missing the heart.
Yeah. How do you think that we get through, though? How do we think we get through to people? Because I'm not born and raised Adventist. Colin is. And we've always had this discussion, and the girls have come to me and said, you know, Mom, you don't understand what it's like to be born and raised. You know, it's different because we just know this from birth. And my whole concept of it is, you've had this since birth. This is so beautiful.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, but it gets old and it's just like there. So how do you take that aspect of it, because I'm thinking, well, I've taught you, I've shown you, so you should be able to have your own relationship. But it's not, it's for them, it's like, yeah, kind of. And then it's like to help them to see that you now have to do this with the tools that you have, do this by yourself and have your own relationship with Christ. How do we get through to our young people like that?
Excellent.
I've had this exact same, well, that's because, you know, your daughter and my son are really good friends. So this exact question came up and what my son said was, you know, at school we're having in our Bible classes, our professors mm-hmm. are teaching us that we are worshiping our parents' gods. And I was taken aback. I was like,
yes.
Hold up. hold on there. Yeah, you know. And he's like, so mom, the God that I worship is not the same God that you worship. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah. Stop the brakes. Put on the brakes.
This is not quite what we're saying, but what we're saying is I'm giving you the God that I know.
Right.
You know, that I grew up with, that made a difference in my life, the God that I've walked through. And then he said something profound. He goes, yes, the God that you've walked with, mm-hmm. but not the God that I have yet.
Yeah.
Because I've been under your tutelage. Mm-hmm. So I've received all the blessings. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear all our problems and what we have to pray for. Mm-hmm. I said, well, yes. So because you've heard and hear, then you see. So you're a part of this blessing. Mm-hmm. Like when we couldn't pay your tuition and everyone from across the US and some in the UK all poured into your high school tuition. This is your blessing. But he said, yes, but you all were the ones that prayed for that. He goes, I didn't know that I was in that. And we didn't, you know, that was our problem too. We didn't tell him how astronomical his bill was. We didn't want to worry him.
No, of course.
You know?
Of course we don't do that.
And so,
right.
Right. Exactly, because you know this is our job as parents. Our job is to provide and resolve and get you through.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just like, oh, so where did I go wrong?
Yes.
You know, should I have had you start with me from the very beginning, saying, I'll be real with you. You know,
yes,
we need extra thousands of dollars to get you through here, and so that you're here with us in the praying process. He goes, yes, you should have. And I said, but. All these other things that we've had, we've prayed for rent and all. He goes, but these are yours and dad's problems that include us as a family, but not me. He goes, mom, I need my own set of problems, my own journey to walk with Christ. And I realized, and I told him, you know, son, then
he's so right.
I can't do that.
No, for you.
I can't live your life with you.
Yeah.
So you just take the tools that we've given you on how to approach Christ and I can't help you with any of it. I mean, you're out there at college, you're doing a whole host of stuff that and I'm biting my teeth when I find out some things because I freak out and scared, you know. And you know. But I have to trust that the tools that I have provided you with are the ones that you're going to take and use and get through.
Yep.
So, you know, and he has. He's called at specific times and be like, mom, I need prayer for this. Or, mom, I couldn't call you on this because you would have, like, died
if
I told
you
what was happening. But, And I'm like, you know, I'm just like, what? You know, like 6 months in the fact.
You can't do the freaking out too much. You have to, okay.
Right. And then I'm like, so how'd you do it? And he told me he used some things of what I've taught him, but now coupled with things that he's learned how to do. So I don't think in answer into your question, I don't think it's something that we can give people. We can just offer to walk beside them
based on experience. Yes.
You know, and give them what we know, which is our experience. And because God works differently with each of us, then they take what they use and apply it to their life.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Totally different generation from mine.
Yep.
It is.
Totally different from mine. Mine
so, was like, yeah, what was yours like?
Mine was like, just don't get in trouble.
Just don't get in trouble. Wow.
And no, it's more than that, though. She was more or less, a pillar to help me with that, because when I was going to college, it was a whole lot different. It was just a whole lot different. The parents want you to come home more. You know, I didn't go far the first time, and then I went further after my father passed. But it was just a lot of things my mother didn't know. She was very wise, but she didn't know a lot of things. It's just that she wanted me just to go off, like you said, of what tools she gave me and how to do it. Because she says life is going to hit you in so many different ways. She says, I'm kind of worried because I don't know how to answer it.
Yes.
Yeah. That was my mother's concern.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember, college campus is what? Is a whole host of demonstrations, a whole host of come join us, a whole host of whatever. And a religion is usually the first thing you get hit with. I'm just telling you what I experienced. I mean, you know.
That's so interesting because I hear Dominique say things like, we're living in a bubble, Mom, because we're an Adventist education. So we're like in this bubble thing. But I'm thinking when I listen to half of the stuff that goes on in the bubble, it's like the world.
right.
Well,
I've been told that same thing too. Mom, you don't know, you know, you're sending me to an Adventist school. And, but I'm like, yeah, but everything that you've said that you've experienced and have happened and things are going on, how can you say that this is a bubble? Because you guys are putting everything into the world, into your bubble.
Into your bubble.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
So true.
Wow.
So true.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to make a segue into your last story, which is your journey to Hawaii. Powerful. It was just so powerful the way you made
it. It was a lot.
Listening to how you, how willing are we to go deeper? How willing are we really willing to go deeper? It's something that I see within us, our lives as Christians, that we tend to look at the mess and say, happy Sabbath.
Yes.
It's like, oh, we don't have mess, really. We're good. Because we have the part, we say the things that we're supposed to say, we do the ministry things that we're supposed to do, but we've got the mess, but we're just piling on to the mess, but we're still saying happy Sabbath. And we're still, well, I do this and I do that. Why do you think we're not willing to, I almost know the answer, but why are we not willing nowadays, pandemic, to dig into that dirt and clean it up? Why don't we want to?
Because we're afraid of what we're going to find. And we are afraid, not only what we're going to find, but how are we going to deal with what we're going to find? Because there's going to be steps that you're going to have to take to deal with the mess that you uncover, right? And so how much is that going to, what sacrifice are we going to have to do? What are we going to have to give up to deal with that specific mess? What are we going to have to say and own up to?
You know,
yes, I made that mistake, and this is why my life is the way it is today. And some people are not going to own up to that mistake because they're going to find so many different or other things to other people, other situations to blame it on. And they can't say, I did this. This is my mess. And I'm going to, they're not going to say that. So I think as Christians and Adventists, this is a lot of the problem that we are standing on. You know, someone had said, had made a mention to me saying, or not to me, but inadvertently to me after the sermon, that was hard to hear because it seemed as if you just kind of threw your family under the bus, or just aired or aired your dirty laundry.
Why? You tell the truth.
But here's the thing, and I get true. It because there so are this is the generations what you're taught to do. You're taught not to say anything. You're taught this is just family business and it's gonna stay here and that's that. But when it stays there and leaves it there, it rots and it becomes worse.
Yes.
And so the answer to that individual was, you know, if we it wasn't about airing dirty laundry, it was about being truthful to our own human condition. Because if we're not truthful to our own human condition, if we don't raise awareness of mental health, you know, and any other thing, whatever the other truths are, it's not there's going to be a never-ending stream of problems, and it's always going to get buried under the rug, and we can't, and that's the problem. We can't keep burying it because we're never going to heal.
The thing about that,
Don, is, I mean, here's the situation. You're in a deplorable situation of what you're in, the conditions in that household. You just got a virtual flashback of 55 years buried under so much stuff. But at the same time, you saw yourself change about how you felt and how you saw about your family. I mean, your sister.
This was a whole different thing. So I hope I didn't get the congregation confused. So the house,
it is
divided. It's a two-story house. So there's no entrance that goes from down to up. And there is only the outside stairs or whatever. The condition of my parents, they were okay. You know, where they are downstairs. Their deteriorating condition came from
age.
The upstairs.
Right.
No. The deteriorating condition of the house.
From the house came from the top down.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, of things that they couldn't breach because of my sister's condition.
Right.
Because it caused so much shift to even, you know, knock on the door throughout the years. Hey, can we get this fixed? Because the water's been from the ceiling.
Right.
You know, and because she didn't want to reveal what the condition was. And it was a pileup of years that created the massive, you know, holes or not massive holes, but, you know, the massive water damage, that came out. And when all that was revealed and, you know, the contractors or my uncle was like, this is what's going on with your pipes because this has been broken for 15, 20 years. And this, and because of that, the rot doesn't stay up there. It spreads throughout the rest of the house, you know? And so it was like a unveiling of even our whole spiritual condition. You know, if we don't take care of it in the very beginning, you know, or if we don't allow someone to help us take care of our spiritual condition in the beginning, then it not only affects myself, but it affects every single person
around me.
But what I wanted to interject and say is, I was talking about the situation of how the anger was developing as you were discovering these things from your sister. And that made you think about yourself and your family and all these other things. About, like you're saying, something that's been hidden for so many years that could have been, I guess, at that time, looked at,
taken care of,
more time with, taken care of, and now look with the amount of what you got. It will make a person upset. It will make a person angry. You know, you had every right. So I didn't see nothing about you throwing your family on the bus at all. It's just like you said, in a comfortable situation, people don't like to be uncomfortable.
I think also the spiritual journey was powerful because looking at your family, your parents aging, Mm-hmm. And they have everything in boxes. That's what old people do. They put everything in boxes.
Yeah, yes.
And they have everything in boxes.
Yeah.
So now you have to go through the boxes and say, do we really need this stuff?
Yes.
But it was the way I saw it was like, you have our spiritual journey as we put compartmentalized things.
Yes.
And leave those things there and let it pile up. Or we're either putting the mess and
the mess.
Okay. And still not addressing either one.
Yes.
Either one of those things.
Right.
Preach, done. Yes.
That's like, the thing. There you
wow,
go.
There that's you just go. How our lives are. When do we get to the point when we realize, wait, guys, we got to deal with something because we're still not connected with God anymore. We're really not. So
reconnect.
And that was, I wasn't expecting. So I wasn't expecting a spiritual journey transformation. I was just expecting to go home and help. throw stuff away. Wait. You know, that's what I was expecting. But bless my mom, when you come and you start opening boxes and you're discovering things that are pristine, but 30 something years old, and she's saying, oh, but that's still perfect. It's still good. We can still use it. And there came a point after maybe box 40 or something that still some things are not, I mean, things were not going quick enough. And I was like, out of 40 boxes, we still have like 20. Yeah. I mean, what's going on? And there was a point that I had to say, Mom, let me help you let go.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a crafter. You love to craft, but honestly, you don't need 4 tubs of ribbon.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said it. Yeah. You said it. I watched the Hoarder show. I watched that.
Yeah.
I watched that completely. And you know, and I mean, shoot, this is like the Antique Roadshow.
it was different. The stuff that they had accumulated through 55 years of marriage, that was a whole nother story. I think because we had moved, because it were, you know, families in Hawaii, Asian families were all families. They are multi-generational families. So everyone lives together, right? So when Armando and I first got married, we were living with them for 4 years. So our stuff also got in with them. And when we moved out of the country, we left maybe like 25 of those totes there. So our stuff is with them too.
Right.
So, but when we all moved house, we went from my childhood home to my grandparents' home who were aging and they needed help. Mm. But in the move, one of them dies, and then 6 months later, another of them dies, and all the trauma of dealing with that, they never got to fully unpack their belongings from the house before, so it all went straight into a shed. So now all the movers had put it all there, and now who's gonna pull it all out? You know, it's kind of like almost like a, all right, let's start with the main things that we have and kind of start from the beginning.
Yes.
You know, so then they acquired new things.
Yes.
You know, and so now when I'm uncovering all these boxes and I'm seeing all the knickknacks and whatever from 20 something years ago, I'm just like, holy smokes, it's all gotta go. And on the other hand, she's like discovering treasure. She's like, there is my jade portrait. There is my, let's take that. And I'm just like, go where? Where are we going with it? Where your house is full. Your house is full. And so that process, you know, when I've had several conversations, it one taught me for myself now, because we have moved. I was just thinking, Jill, you just reminded me of the Ark of the Covenant. he moved it, him and the guys moved this piece of furniture that was
massive,
heavy, and massive. But I've moved, we've moved England, to Seattle, to England, Seattle, to Jersey, to Michigan. And in each time, although we have decluttered, you know, we still haven't let go of things. So now I still have a spare room that's unpacked because our house is half the size of the house that we came from. Right? So it is, because we came from a two-story house in Michigan to a one, you saw it, a one-story house. It is tiny. So all this stuff is there. And we're just like, we got to like get rid of this. So now going now to my parents' home, it was almost like, God was pre-showing me what my future was going to be like if I chose not to let go now. You know? And so that was a whole like ding ding. Okay, so right when we walked in our door, my kids, after a month, my kids were like, you know, Mom, yeah, let's clean out the spare room. Yes. We can get rid of a lot of stuff, Mom. And I'm like, yeah, yes, we can. Yes, we can.
I like that. Yes, we can.
Wow.
Yes, we can. Wow. Wow. I just, wow. Yeah. I did the same thing with my mother's. I went through stuff that newspapers that were stained yellow. And I'm like, wow. You know, and I said, Mom, you're a hoarder. Because there's so much stuff, but it's memories. You get a flashback real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Flashback, you know?
With my parents, it was just not letting go of all those stuff that they had. But with my sister was, I think, the hoarder, because my grandparents' things were still there.
Right.
You know, because she took care of my grandparents. They were still the it was almost as if I walked into a kind of like a time warp where my grandparents' furniture was there, their china was still up in the cupboards. But also she didn't want to let go of their memories. So she raised her family with her stuff on top of theirs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then it became too much, you know, mentally it all just became
too much. Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. Do you think that as a Christian, we tend to have a lot of baggage that we bring into the church with us that we don't want to get rid of?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. We hold on to this baggage because this baggage has now become meaning. This baggage is why we are who we are now. And so if we were to get rid of that baggage, that would diminish from who we are. We can't, and that baggage is supporting us, you know. We can't let go of that value. We can't let go of that tradition because this is what we've had all our lives. And to let go of that, then that makes our whole life a lie.
Yeah.
You know, so
That's some sort of identity that's being taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Especially if it's generational. We've always done it
differently,
and therefore to continue. So it's like, how do we make that change so that we can have that proper connection with God?
Which change?
If we have to
expand on that.
Get rid of the baggage so that we have that proper connection with God.
There's a verse that says to reconnect, or not a verse, but to reconnect with God, we need to be willing to sacrifice anything that keeps us from him. So if there's hurt, if there's past hurt from past relationships, is it worth it to hang on to that bitterness, to hang on to that unforgiving nature? Because, and that's the problem with a lot of the relationships, we're not going to let go of this because we have stood this for 15 years. This thing that has happened between us, this has characterized our life for 15 years or whatever. And no, I'm not going to be the first one to back down. But is that helping our relationship with God? Because if we are not letting go of that, then our whole persona is just going to be tied to these things that are tying us in animosity to other people. So how do we let go? We just for me, we just ask God, Father, just take it from me. So as I, so that was my illustration. As I am scooping up trash, and when I say trash, it's no longer in my sister's house, it's no longer belongings, but it became trash because the belongings got caught up in dust and rodents. Yeah. And the meaning was not there anymore, you know, and it was so broken, you know, for me. I saw, because it was so broken, as I looked at the collective mess, I realized that this is how my nieces and nephews had to live, but not tell anybody.
Yeah. Wow.
How they were living, who, because they loved their mother, my sister, they were going to protect at all costs. So nobody would know, but this is the suffering that came out of it, you know. And I'm thinking, man, if just one word was said, you know, something could have been done. But then I realized, even if a word was said, nothing could have been done, because my sister couldn't, in the things that were going on in her mind, she couldn't allow it.
You know,
and as I'm looking at it now, my anger coalesced, because I'm like, one, how could you this place was beautiful, you know. And it's like I walked into this warped time zone where it was so revolting. And I hope our listeners are not feeling bad for what I'm saying, but I'm just saying that it was such a revolting, just a disgust, that when I felt my internal reaction to it, I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it, because I am scooping up rat poop and covered in rat feces dust, you know, and just covered in all this muck. And I didn't even know what I was breathing at that point, because even if everything was on me, like mask and everything else is on me.
Yeah.
You know, so I am angry. I am angry that I'm dealing with this mess. I am just like, how could you do this, one, to the hands that fed you? You know, how could you do this to the hands, to the mouths that you are feeding?
Yeah.
And it just, and coming into it, and my uncle's listening to me. My uncle's just quiet, but he's listening to me just go off. I'm off on a tirade of Cap, I'm throwing stuff around, because stuff doesn't mean anything anymore, because they're just, it's just mess. It's just a garbage. And he's like, he's the one that calls, Jen, you can't reach a mind like that.
No, you can't.
You can't reach a mind like that. And I thought, and he didn't know it, my uncle's not a Christian, you know, but at that point he was speaking God into me. You know, you can't touch a mind like that. You can't change the past. What are you going to do with the present? You know, and I was like, half-hearted, like, Uncle, be quiet. You know. And I'm like, let me be angry. You know, and he did, you know. And as Armando wasn't saying nothing, he was just scooping and trashing and scooping and trashing. And as I'm doing this, as I'm, you know, God is just, he's asking me at this time, I know what it was almost like a setup for me. It was a setup. God knew. He knows that I'm always going to, like, if I can, drop everything and run to my parents to be that help, right? So he knew, he devised, like, this perfect timing. And he's telling me, I knew that you were going to come. And this initially, you know, this was my what do you call, my...
initial reaction, I guess.
No. This was my phase one plan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay,
my
I got
phase
you.
one, you know, this is my phase one. This is the whole reason you're going to come help your mom and dad, you know, get them to the doctors, help them recuperate, help them get their house ready for renovation for their disability access. Right. And we knew that was important because mom had been asking for a long time. Hey, can you come get rid of your stuff? My stuff, my 25 totes, you know, come get it. Come get rid of your stuff. And not knowing that there were so much others. And so he's saying that, but then he's like, kind of like a trick, like, okay, I told you this is what you're going to do, but this is the real
reason why you're here.
This is the real heart of what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, because my mom couldn't go up there. She had an inkling. She knew, but you know, there was the pain of losing her parents and all that years ago that she was still dealing with. And also knowing, you know, the pain of the relationship between them and my sister, you know, and so she couldn't face what she knew she might see, you know, and so God was like, now this is why I brought you here because here's a deeper reason. You need to get this ready for your parents. I want you now to walk in the muck. I thought I was walking in the muck. It wasn't muck, it was work. Pulling boxes outside, throwing stuff. I thought that was muck. No. God saying, now that you think you've walked through muck, I'm going to make you really walk through muck. And how, when you say you love your parents, how much do you love your parents?
How deep will you go?
When you say you love me, Jen, how much do you truly love me? When you say you love your family, how much do you truly love your family? Because now I'm revealing to you the deeper condition of your sister. All these years, you know, you've been away and you just think, oh, you know, that's her. Why she's not been at family gatherings and that's that. But now you're going to see why things are happening. And the deepest question is, are you going to love them? Are you going to love her? Are you going to love me even then? So I'm sifting through all this stuff and I'm like mad. I went from mad to crying to just being like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I will do it. But it was, it went through so deeper than that, because then he says, you know, it was such a deeper thing for me, because then it came to my ministry and it connected to later on. I wouldn't know, but he's like, how do I explain this? You see the condition of your own family. You see how much you need to love. Now take this and look at the condition of your church family. Of the people who are going through different things, and now you can relate a little bit more to when they say, my family, my sibling is dealing with this, you're not just gonna say, I'll pray for you.
You're gonna say that more often than anything.
You're gonna say, how can I walk with you on this journey, because I know now the journey that you are walking in, you know. So when I learned that up there in my sister's house, and you fast forward to the end of my trip where my mom is praying, doing a final prayer for us, she says, Father, I know my daughter has to go back to do your work, so Father, prepare my child once again for your ministry.
Oh, wow.
She thought I was crying because I'm leaving home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Directly.
That just, boom, that just closed off everything. And it rounded out everything that I had just gone through, you know. And she says, prepare my child once again for your ministry, prepare her family, let them walk in unity with you, for all the hearts that they are going to bring to you, prepare her now for the ministry that she is walking back into. And I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
I'm done. And right there, God's like, go feed my sheep.
Amen. Amen.
And so I'm just like, okay. All right. Let's go. Let's go.
See, look at your chest into a testimony. Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really powerful. It was really
powerful. I mean, because
What is our condition? What is our condition? What are we doing? What are we doing?
And this is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we are.
Yeah.
That's why I understand that so many people have relationships that are similar, maybe not exact, but similar. And that's where relationship comes. Hey, man, this is what I experienced. And what I found so funny about is the people that wouldn't, I don't normally, you know how sometimes you have a circle of people, you know, you have your circle. But there's certain people that you don't talk to as much, but then they come and tell you, hey, man, I just want to let you know I dealt with that. And this is how I handled it, or the case may be. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of shocked. And I found that out like when I started going to Camp Kalakwa. When I started going to men's Camp Kalakwa, I would get different men and say, hey, man, wow, that was powerful. This is what I did. Or I didn't know you handled it that way. So what I'm saying, I can understand that. And like Don said, it's just where we are, man. It's where we are.
You know, what's funny about this sermon is this Peter's story has been, I don't know what it was, you know, all of November and December, for some reason, Peter's story and his whole, just that specific part about having to, about what he did, about how he denied and how he had been reaffirmed. I was thinking, because, you know, our church had been so much together in community and trying to reconnect. Mm-hmm. I was thinking back then, like, God, are you giving me this sermon? Because I've been trying to make it into something, but there was never an opportunity. There was never a point where it said, okay, now you do this. And so I'm thinking, why are you putting this in my heart for like 2-3 months now? And then I realized he's prepping my mind before what I'm gonna hit that I didn't even know I was going to come into. And then I experienced all that, and it just all slotted in. Mm-hmm. How Peter had to be reconnected to Jesus in order to be reaffirmed into what he was, that he was still loved, and reaffirmed that he still had a purpose for what God had wanted him to do. He wasn't done, even though he thought it was all done, as he stared at Jesus on the cross, and he's thinking, I was never able to make this right with my friend, never able to do so. But he had to. See, the thing is, he had to go through that ultimate cutoff, you know, that unresolvedness to finally get the reconciliation that was waiting for him at the seaside. And when I put it all together, my mind was just firing off. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus, when you look at the correlation on how he called them, how he called him, and you correlate it with how he again called him again at the same place, and God created the same conditions by a fire. He was denied by a fire, but he was reaffirmed by a fire. He was denied 3 times, but he was affirmed 3 times that he loved him. I'm just like, and then I it slotted in with everything that happened in Hawaii. I'm like, oh, so you waited. Jesus, you had me stewing for 4 months on this story, stewing until I finally had a reason to live it through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you put it together. And I'm not sure if you know that I was watching, I was watching, but there was a point in this room when I was about to go into it that I kind of just paused and faltered as I was going to begin to share my testimony. And in the middle of it, I said, and so the person, you know, at that point, I had always thought that I was going to say it was my sister, but there was that 1 second hesitation. Like, do I say that it was my sister?
All right.
Or do I say it was a tenant? You know, but quickly,
could have said that.
I could have said it. Yeah. It was a tenant, mm-hmm. right? For protection.
Protection.
But at the same time, if it was a tenant, yeah. then the whole testimony would have meant
I wouldn't have got it. To be honest, if you call me a tenant, that wouldn't have made, but because you said it was your sister, yeah. I was able to make a connection, because that's when I sat back and I said, I see it now. I see the whole thing mm-hmm. with Peter and everything. And the willing to really go deeper. That kind of mental thought of this is actual blood that mm-hmm. has gone through.
Yeah.
And now look at what the condition is. And now the other sister has to come in to help. Like, I was like, yeah, I see it. I see it. If you said a tenant, we're just like, who is that person?
Yeah, it would have been relatable
to that person. And look what they did. That's terrible. Uh-huh.
Right.
Now they're gone.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yes. Then we could have commented and made comments. Yeah.
That's what it was. Because when you said sister, I was like, whoa, really? What happened to the sister? Why? Yeah. Why? Mm-hmm. And then you're able to see the whole correlation of it. Made me sit back and think, you know, how much stuff do we hide because our families are doing this and we don't want to talk about it because it's too embarrassing? And what's the reaction going to be? And you know what's mm-hmm. so crazy? The reaction is always that somebody gets to know God so much deeper. I've seen that so much with the testimonies that we do, especially with flowers. It's like you mm-hmm. get these little pockets of people that say, I get it, God. I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're trying to teach me here. Because that one has gone through it. Now I see, oh, wow, yes. I see the story that God is trying to bring me through. It's amazing.
Yes. Last week I was on a prayer line, and I think I was trying to kind of test it out. Like, how will it go if I were to really do the sermon? Mm. And so somehow the devotion was about restoration mm-hmm. and so forth. So I just quickly inserted like 5 minutes, like, oh yeah, so this is what happened. This is what happened. And my sister did this. And then we went into a season of prayer mm-hmm. and we were about to end out the season of prayer when someone goes, hold on. I've been trying to talk. I've been trying to get the courage to speak, and I haven't been able to for the last hour, but now I can't, and I need prayer because I am going through the same thing. I have a family member who's doing this, and I've been trying to get help, but I'm afraid on how to get help because how will it affect the family once we say that this family member is suffering from this. Mm. And you know, Sister Jen, Pastor Jen, thank you so much for just having the courage to say it, because now I can say it, and now maybe we can talk. That's and I'm just like,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Boom. Okay.
Even if it's just one person, it doesn't
matter. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I always think to myself, how ashamed am I to talk about anything that happens in my life? Am I too ashamed to say I struggle with this because I'm trying to get closer to God? Am I ashamed to talk about my journey to God and show how this, what I'm going through and how it's affecting me, for somebody else to say, I get it. I understand that walk. It's just so powerful. It mm-hmm. blows me away every time I go through that.
Yes.
And it just gives you the confidence to say, okay, you know what? It's hard, but I just want to share this because it could be somebody out there that just needs to hear this.
Somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Powerful. It was powerful.
Very, very powerful.
It really was.
I have a tissue for you, Dawn.
You're gonna pass it through the Zoom screen?
Yeah, I'll pass it right on through. Yeah. It'll work, yeah, you know. Well, Pastor Jen, every time
always,
it was with you,
always Pastor Jen, always.
With your story, because you're the storyteller.
I was waiting for it. I was sitting there. I was like, okay, she's talking about
storyteller.
Okay, what's the story? I don't see that. What's the story?
It's coming.
I'm like, okay, I've made enough. Okay, that's the scripture. I see it. But what's the story?
Yeah, what's the story?
Good. What's the story?
So you.
You're getting to the end. I'm like, she doesn't have a story. Oh my goodness.
But we knew it was coming somewhere in there. We knew.
And yeah, I saw like the 22 minute mark on the clock, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what makes it complete, because it's testimonial and it's relational. Like,
whoa, got it. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. So, wonderful.
Praise it's God. Wonderful. I am glad.
Amen. Well, Don, I say once again, we got a third sermon.
I know, right?
And you were in there too. You had a sermon somewhere. Well, that's it's all relational. Believe me, all of us got something out of this. So I want to thank you, Pastor, as always. You know, second in command, of course. Mm-hmm. Would you go ahead and lead us out with a word of prayer?
Mm-hmm. Yes, host.
Yeah, you got that. Good. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the trials that come our way to make us see a clearer picture of you and the mission that you have called us on, Father. Mm-hmm. Father, it's not easy. Some of these facts of life, some of these walks of life are just so hard to walk, Father. And it's even harder to share for fear of judgment, for perhaps shame, Father. But the more we're able to let go of our luggage, Father, and baggage, and be able to say, this is what you've done in my life, and thank you for walking me through this challenge, the more, Father, we can show a clearer picture of you to those who need to see you working in their lives. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you not only for the challenges and trials that you've brought me through, but Father, for showing me why you've brought me through them. It's just, you know, sometimes I cry, like, why do I have to go through this? And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's why I have to go through this. I get it. And it's such, it's beautiful. It is beautiful, Father, and it is a privilege to serve you. So, Father, make it so that we can look at our challenges in this way, that this is going to be another test that will turn into a testimony for you. Let us not be afraid to speak up for mental health awareness, because through this pandemic, mental health is the one that's raging right now, because we're so isolated, Father, and perhaps this is what Satan meant to do, to isolate us and then make us go crazy in our own minds, Father. But this is not what your plan is. And so, yes. Father, help us to have that courage to say we need help. Or our friend needs help, our family needs help, and to not only say it, but go out and get it, Father, in whatever way we need to do together, be it therapy or even medication if need be, Father, but the way that you have called us to do. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us, not only for your blessing and your provision, but for the insight that you've given us into your character, and above all, the love that we know from you. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I tell you, thank you once again. So we meet again.
Yes.
One more time, because we know we got some more. Yeah. And I did, you know, Don, I forgot to mention that we are any questions, concerns they may have, we didn't give the world's famous number. Yeah. That's 954-388-8780. Any questions, concerns? We hope that you will be blessed for what you heard today.
Yeah, and don't forget, Joe, we have to do birthdays. We have about four.
Yeah, I'm thinking it right now. Yeah. I just wanted to say that, I guess, in the moral of this story, I guess you have to lose your connection to get reconnected.
Yes. Right. Ooh. Oh.
Joe.
Damn.
Drop the mic, Joe.
Drop the mic. I'm out.
No, it's good. Right? But I think that's what it's all about. You have to lose it sometimes to get it back.
Realize that you're not even connected, right?
You're not even connected. Realize that sometimes you're not even not.
Yeah.
All right, Don, let's go. We're on drum roll for the birthdays.
Yep. So we had a couple birthdays yesterday. Amanda Holman on the 13th. And
Ainsley's birthday yesterday.
Oh.
Ainsley.
It's today, isn't it? Isn't it today?
13th. It says the 13th here, so I'm guessing it was yesterday.
I thought it was the 14th.
Okay. Well, she said that.
Too. Maybe it's a daylight savings time thing, I guess.
Maybe.
Because this podcast, we would have lost an hour already. So.
I know, right? And then we have Mishka Richards is on the 20th. And Mar is on the 20th, too.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday. Okay, ladies.
Yep.
We want to thank you. Mm-hmm. You guys are great. I enjoyed this podcast. I really did.
I always love this podcast.
Hey, you know?
Always.
I don't know who's salt and pepper. Are you pepper, Don? And I'm salt.
Can't be salt and pepper girls, man.
Yeah, I know. Hey.
And even Spinderella was a girl, so it's like.
Yeah, Spinderella. Okay. Hey. I just trying to be the first.
Just trying, right?
The first boy. On the game. You guys are funny. Well, once again, we want to thank you, Pastor Jen. Have a wonderful day with your family. I'll be seeing you later.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And Don, I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
All right.
And you're doing that. Okay. God bless everyone.
God bless. Mm-hmm.